Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 5 of The Purple Patch with Duck and Oz.
Howdy.
A Fremantle football podcast brought to you by the Freo Dockers, but with two Freo fans. Oz, how you going, mate?
I'm living the dream every day of my life, my friend.
Mate, I tell you what, if Monday I was down, I'm back up on a Thursday. Oh, the roller coaster that is being a Freo Dockers fan's back up and about. And look, we've got a very interesting game versus Adelaide this week. Going back to the traditional Dockery time of 11:05 on a Sunday, mate.
Get around it.
That's what we want, 11 o'clock on a Sunday. We'll play Adelaide, who are 0-4 as well. So the two 0-4 sides come together, and one fan base will be happy by the end of the day on Sunday.
Yeah, look, Adelaide are going to be 0-5. Let's face it, the mighty Purple Army will subconsciously get our guys over the line.
Yeah,
ready for the hub.
Ready for the hub.
And then we're going to steam, and mate, this is going to be the most dockery docker of premierships. I'm back on the wagon.
Jeez, mate, what a turnaround by you. Hey, look, just some recent form. In the last five games between the Dockers and Adelaide, the Dockers have won one game, and that was, I think, over here. It was the Adam Chera breakout game.
Yes.
So, and I think Brandon Cox kicked a couple as well. Bit of a massive upset. Adelaide's recent form, they lost to Sydney by 3 points in Adelaide. Then they got belted by Port in the showdown. They got belted by Gold Coast. And, well, realistically, they should have been belted by Brisbane, but they lost by 37 points. I think Brisbane had 33 scoring shots to maybe 10 or something like that. So, look, they are really in struggle street at the moment. Oz, they've still got a relatively good side in terms of their lineup. If you're looking at guys like Rory Sloane, 200-game player, Tex Walker, 193 games, Talia, 190 games, Smith, 171. Then they got the likes of Brown and Laird and Lynch, the two Crouch brothers. You know, they've got a fairly strong side, mate, and they've got a good core of players. However, they're just playing really quite terrible football. They're down and out. I think they've gotten rid of some guys who wanted to leave because of they were disappointed with what happened. And, you know, the guys that are left there are, you know, not really doing much anymore. So it'll be an interesting one for the Dockers.
There has been some criticism placed upon Adelaide for potentially not necessarily changing a game style really since they made the grand final and not really adjusting to how the competition has changed. Now, look, that could be a number of factors, but there's been a little bit of turmoil there. They're a club that's hurting a little bit in terms of pride, and they'll be looking to bounce back this week. So it is actually going to be a danger game for us in the sense of you've got a club that's been whacked both in the media and on the park, whereas Fremantle we haven't been whacked on the park. It's just we haven't got the runs on the board, so to speak.
Haven't got the chocolates yet.
Out of all of the teams, I think unanimously throughout the media, out of all of the teams who have yet to win a game or at least
it's
haven't
only won us two, yet, yeah. Haven't won many.
I was just going to say, in terms of how many we've won or lost, I think most leeway is going towards Fremantle because of the way in which we're playing and the fact that we're hanging around in games. So I'm very excited about what this game represents, Duck, because I think it's a turning point for us. It's nice. Hopefully we get that sneaky win and then we hit the hub and then, oh boy, look at us go.
And it was good to hear Belly come out on, I think it was Wednesday, come out on Adelaide Radio and say, look, you know, the boys, the reaction to being in the hub has been super positive. You know, we're looking at a number of teams now. Richmond don't want to really go. Their captain's come out. West Coast have been sooking the whole time. You know, these guys, there's a lot of clubs that have been really, you know, not because they're not getting their way, they're sooking it. Whereas the Dockers, you know, if we could have won that first game against Brizzy, you know, and you get a bit of momentum and here and there and, you know, the boys come together. But I think as well, the Dockers have always been that team that it's just like, yep, you guys go do that. And we're like, yep, we're happy to do that.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of like we know that we are the ones that get pushed around a bit. So we're happy to just deal with it and roll with the punches. Whereas these teams that, like the Eagles that have never been pushed around before and told what to do, they're like, no, I don't want to do it. And it's like, mate, well, you got to do it. And like Richmond.
Well, I was just going to say, have a look at
this.
Have a look at Richmond and Cochin there. You know, their leader comes out and says, oh, well, you know, we're not necessarily going to have our first team playing in a hub because some of our guys want to stay home with family. And look, that is their choice. And I was listening to the Duff and Quarters podcast earlier on today. And wholeheartedly agree with what they're saying. Look, you have to be able to read the room. You've got to understand that there are clubs out there who have actually done this, who have actually gone ahead for the sake of the game and have left their families and have tried to put together some semblance of a game plan and play away from home for a prolonged period of time. And yet here you are acting somewhat self-indulgently. And it really, when you think about it, not in necessarily in the best spirit of what has actually gone before them in terms of what other clubs have done. So very interesting take. You also see what's happened with Collingwood and the whack that Sidebottom's cop from the AFL 4 weeks, I believe it is, for breaching the hub rules, so to speak. Then you've got on top of that, Duck, you've got players in the middle of the night or through the night who have been told to get out of certain areas within Victoria because they are dedicated hotspots, so to speak, and then won't be allowed to move. So, you know, players have been asked to move at very short notice into temporary accommodation. And it's quite interesting that if you think about it logically, wouldn't you as a Victorian team just want to get out of Victoria?
Yeah.
And then naturally wanting to go and move, be free to do what you need to do. I mean, coming over to Western Australia, I understand it's on the other side of Australia, and some of them may not have seen, you know, Western Australia before because they're so used to playing in Victoria. Yeah, I said it. And basically, you'll have the opportunity. Yeah, I understand the initial quarantine, but you'll have the opportunity to play in front of crowds, one, two, be able to move around and have some semblance of a lifestyle, and three, potentially bring your families over.
Yeah.
You're going to get the revenue from the AFL is going to get the revenue from the crowds that are actually going to be there. So, you know, if they're thinking logically, these Victorian teams should be sort of thinking, well, maybe we go South Australia, Queensland, Western Australia, or Northern Territory, even Tasmania. You know, think logically. Get out of the hot spots.
Yeah. Well, it's just unbelievable to me, mate. I think the Victorians have had it their way for so long when you tell them what to do. Like I said before with those other teams, you know, you tell them what to do and they sook it. So, like, they've had these opportunities where they're like, well, we're just happy to stay in Victoria. Mate, if you look at the current active cases, so in Australia there are 386 active cases of COVID-19, right? Northern Territory 0, Tasmania 0, ACT 0, Queensland 2, South Australia 3, Western Australia 4, New South Wales 7, Victoria 370.
Mm.
So, you know, if this competition is to go ahead and we want to continue to play, and, you know, it's just like the clubs just have to bite the bullet, and the AFL actually have to be strong and not be VFL-centric and, you know, like we always talk about here in WA in particular, but they've got to go, look, you go to Queensland, you're going to South Australia, you're going to WA. That's life. You're going to be there. And, you know, I think Duff did have a good point in the Duff and Quarters pod today was, let's just have a week off. Get these teams to these hubs so they can quarantine for 2 weeks. Let's just have a break in the fixture. We've played a couple of games. It won't matter if we have a break now. If you can go from WA, South Australia, Queensland and rotate around there, even New South Wales, and just rotate around there, and you can't go home for 5 or 6 weeks. Like the WA players haven't been out, all the South Australian players, you know, like, and you know, it's just they've got to be able to bite the bullet, because if they want to get paid, you know, if we're going to get this revenue from the TV, there's got to be games. Now, unfortunately, in Victoria at the moment, and in not just Victoria, but Melbourne at the moment, you can't, like, COVID-19 seems to be rampant there. So there's a lot of community spread. So it's a massive problem.
Mm.
And like you said, mate, You could actually bring the whole competition to WA, and July, and we could play games every day of the week on Optus Stadium, and maybe at the Wacker. Well, probably Wacker would be a bit hard to get ready, but play to Optus, boom, sorted. Crowds would be there. Like people would go there and all you got to do, have a 2 week break, get all the players there. There's plenty of accommodation because people aren't traveling, so there's plenty of free hotels within the city. Like going from the city to Optus Stadium's nothing. Boom, get that sorted. Play 2 games a day, mate. You know, I think the stadium, it'd just be a matter of keeping the turf up to date, you know, getting that sorted.
But, yeah.
You know, and even playing on those suburban grounds. Anyway, that was a bit of a digression.
Oh, boy.
Oz, do you want to go through the Dockers team?
Yes, I do. Quite exciting because we've been advocating for this young gentleman to hit the ground running and hopefully join the squad, which is what's going to happen. So exciting times. Just going to quickly read across because we know that the teams that are named on the AFL don't necessarily line up accordingly. But we've got Stephen Hill, Griffin Logue, Reece Conker, Nathan Wilson, Luke Ryan, Ethan Hughes, Adam Chera, Andrew Brayshaw and James Aish, Trav Collier, Matt Tabanagh and Brett Bewley, Rory Lobb, Jesse Hogan, Michael Walters, our followers Sean Darcy, David Mundy and Darcy Tucker, and the extended interchange as it stands, Connor Blakely, Brandon Materia, Caleb Sorong, Hayden Young, Bailey Banfield, Taylan Duman, Lockie Schultz and Sam Sturt. So the ins this week, mate, are Sean Darcy, Connor Blakely, Bailey Banfield and Taylan Duman, and Nat Fyfe obviously out with his hamstring.
Yeah, so the only guaranteed in at this moment will be Sean Darcy, who's been lined up on the ruck. So they will, the interchange from, as we like to call it. Look, Oz, these are the guys that are on the bench, like you just named. Blakely, Matera, Sorong, Young, Banfield, Duman, Schultz, and Sturt, mate. Who are the four guys you pick from that? Be the selector, mate. I want to see you in the selection committee.
Connor Blakely, hands down. Caleb Sorong, Hayden Young, Sam Sturt.
That's exactly who I've got, mate. I would maybe interchange Sturt, who's coming off an ankle and he's a young guy. Maybe give him an extra week and go with Taylan Duman as another defender.
Tall,
a bit of a tall, lanky, rangy.
Right, we love that rangy one.
Look, Adelaide have brought in Matt Crouch, Kyle Hartigan and McPherson, and they've still got they'll make their changes and announce those tomorrow afternoon, mate. But look, Oz, let's get into the matchups for a start.
Ooh-wee.
And I'm starting with the matchup. I'm starting with the forwards this time. Here, so I've gone with Talia versus Big Hoags. Look, Talia, the two-time All-Australian key defender, has had his cutters lowered in the last couple of weeks, mate, by Ben King and Charlie Dixon. Versus Hoags, mate, presented well. Attacked the ball really well in the last game. It's his third game back. Dockers kind of need to get out of Hogan's way, in my opinion, mate. He crashes packs and he does spoil our own teammates every now and again. But he's the key forward. He's got to be the one taking the marks. Want to see a big game from the Hogs, and I want to see him regain that goal-kicking confidence. I think there's something that really dropped away, even last year to a certain extent, and since he's had the foot injury, his goal-kicking, he doesn't seem confident in front of goals, mate, and I know you can't buy him confidence down the corner store, but I will say this to you, Big Hoags, like my old man always said to me, you don't get your name in the paper for goal assist, young man, so if you get it inside the 50, I want to see you go back and slot it. Because his field-kicking is super accurate, and he holds the ball hell weird, and he does like these drill kicks, which probably aren't even the best kicks to do for field kicking, but super accurate. But let's see some of those, mate. And just, you get the ball close in. Don't even look at anyone else. Just go back, walk back. And I would even say, do the old mortal sin of walk back with your back to the goals, mate. Just strut on back. I want to see that and go back and kick through the ball, mate. Because if Hoags can kick two or three, Tabanagh bobs up with his one or two, and then, you know, one of the small forwards kicks a couple. We've only got to kick about 10 goals and we'll beat Adelaide, you know, and because they're really struggling up forward. So, you know.
Give us a prediction. How many goals do you reckon he... I know you want him to kick a certain number, but give me
Hoags,
a prediction.
If Hoags kicks three goals, I'd be super happy, mate. Yep. I think three goals. I think you get a lot of possessions. You could see he was up at the wing and marking it. But, yeah, with the Roaring Lobster, the Hoags and Tabs all in the game, I can really see Hogan getting up the field a bit more. But hopefully he can get him on the cutback, mate, and kick a couple of goals.
I'm excited.
Mate, midfield for you?
Oh, Connor Blakely versus Rory Sloane's my first matchup, mate. Surf's up, Duck.
Surf's up.
We've got two masters of the surf potentially going head-to-head in the engine room. And Rory Sloane loves a good Frio tussle, and the stats actually back up his above-average performances versus Frio. Now, actually, since 2012, he's only had a sub-30 possession game versus Frio on two occasions.
Ooh.
So there is something about the purple uniform that flicks a switch for this young man. Well, he is 30 years of age, and he is in his twilight of his career, and time is running out for the big dance. So fair to say that the year has been a bit of a disaster for the Crows thus far, and Sloane is a very proud man. So I expect a fiery Sloane to drag his team out of the poor performances this week, I should say. And his KPIs are a little down. And if we've learned anything, unfortunately, we know there is a tendency for these types of players to turn around their form versus Freo.
Oh, yeah.
Where we're pretty good at playing some underperforming players in a form. Let's cut to Connor Blakely. Now, it's great to see Connor back in the side. And we need his ball-winning ability. It has been sorely missed. Now, I'll put this to you, Duck. He has predominantly played off halfback in recent times, but, and now I'm just indulge me here for a second, I think his best footy is through the guts, and I think he may get the opportunity to show how important he is for the team in this regard. And if you go back to his 2016 season when he was running through the middle, he was averaging 20.3 disposals per game, 72.4% disposal efficiency, and just under 2.5 stoppage clearances per game. So there's no reason why he can't get back to at least these stats if given the opportunity to do so. He's a big body, Duck. We need to replace a bigger body because obviously Akers didn't get up to play this game. So he's got the opportunity. He'll be playing in the resis, by the way. But he's got the opportunity to use that bigger body through the middle. And as we've probably seen in the past few weeks, stoppages is our Achilles heel at this point in time. And if we can limit the damage of, you know, the midfield walking out with said ball and delivering it into the forward line, we've shown around the ground we more than match it. And it's only been small passages where we've been beaten, and that's actually hurt us long term. So I'm hoping that Blakely goes through the guts, and I think it's going to be a corker of a matchup.
Yeah, I really hope Blakes gets run through the guts, not only because he's our man at the podcast, but look, I think as well, him along with hopefully Brayshaw and Chera playing a bit more time in the midfield, hopefully those guys have got a little bit of a point to prove, a little bit of a chip on the shoulder, you know? Your next matchup, mate.
Okay, so I'm going Brad Crouch versus Darcy Tucker. Now, well, Duck, let me say this. Doctor Who better leave the TARDIS and show his magic screwdriver this round, mate, because he needs to show some four-quarter consistency to help Freo recover from the four consecutive losses. And if there was ever a time to summon the Doctor's powers, it's during a COVID-ravaged season, my friend. Now, Tucker is averaging 18.5 disposals, four tackles, and 3.2 score involvements per game. His disposal efficiency is a little down at 66%. And this will need to lift to help the fluid scoring chain. And we know, we've talked about this on the pod before, that one of his strengths we have seen in the past is to push forward and put on some scoreboard pressure. He is a beautiful long kick.
Yeah.
Beautiful long kick. Mm. This will be super important versus a player like Brad Crouch. Now, arguably the most important cog in the midfield for the Crows, Crouch is like a Dalek in that he rolls around looking ominous and can be unstoppable for key moments of games. So like most Crows players, there is room for improvement with his stats. And at the moment, he's averaging 23 posies per game, four tackles and five clearances, and 2.5 score involvements per game. His disposal efficiency has ticked just under 58% per game, which is not in his best stats, I would say, over the recent times. However, his strength is definitely contested possessions. He's ranked number two in the comp. He gets a lot of the ball, and if given space and time, will improve on these numbers and could be a deciding factor in the outcome of the game. In the corresponding fixture last year, in the 2019 fixture versus Freo, he amassed 31 disposals and six clearances. So let's hope the Doctor smashes the Dalek this round and helps Freo earn its first victory of the season.
Yeah, and I really think the midfield, and one of the big criticisms of the Crows midfield is that they are very slow, very one-paced. They got the Crouch brothers, they got Sloane. They're all about the same speed, no explosiveness from the contest. So if we can keep it in tight and then win it on the outside, and, you know, the guys on the outside may be able to prove a little bit and get a little bit of it. But, mate, just quickly into the back line, this man could be on the outside of a couple of them. Stephen Hill, second game back, looked awesome in the first quarter of the last game. I think he had eight disposals. Then he disappeared from the game. But with the likes of Hill, Young and Wilson running with a run and carry off the halfback flank, you know, that's what's really going to help us win the game. The spread from the back line and the speed and transition will really help us. And he's coming up against a young crow by the name of Shane McAdams. He's a Halls Creek product. He's a mature recruit. Played his first game last week. Look, he kicked 53 goals in two seasons of the Sandful. Exciting prospect. Could be a game changer. And we know that the Dockers, they don't mind having a small forward kick a couple of goals on him. But, I mean, I could have gone with the big Texan or someone like that. But I really think Stephen Hill, big game. Play on a guy who's pretty inexperienced and actually show your experience in your run and carry and, be, you know, take the game on. Just like we saw Hayden Young, one of our, you know, real great youngsters, second, third game, took the game on. That's what we want to see from Wilson and from Stephen Hill as well. So that's pretty much that. Oz. All right, Oz, shall we go to a break?
Yeah, sounds good.
When we come back, guys, we've got, you know, have a guess who the dual citizen's going to be. Just have a wild guess. And we've got classic time they've been.
Oh, exciting times.
Welcome back to episode, what is it, episode five. Season two. Mate, when you're doing two podcasts over the week, mate, it's very hard. I need to write it down.
Man, I'm still in my work clothes right now, prepping for this.
Well, I was wearing my work clothes and I was like, oh, I better get changed. We'll see how it goes.
Straight from one meeting into another.
Oz, let's get into dual citizens, mate. And this week's dual citizen, it can only be one man. The man that, Oz, did you call him Godra or Mods?
No, Godra.
See, I think I was more of a Mods man. Yeah. And I tell you what, guys, just like people in Victoria probably yell out Jezalenko or people would yell out Kappa, down in sunny Tamblup, I yelled out Modra a fair few times, mate, when I was trying to take a specky, probably on my sister. Just put it on her head, Nelson. I'll just take a big old hanger. No, but Tony Modra, mate, what an impact he had on our club. And it was quite interesting. In Les... The Dockers book by Les Carmore. What's his name? I've forgotten now. It's gone off on top of my head. He's got him as a loyal servant, not as a cult figure.
Oh,
I was
boy.
Like, I would have thought Modra was a cult figure, mate.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mods, mate. From 1992 to 1998, he played for Adelaide. He kicked 440 goals in 118 matches, mate.
Oh, boy.
I think he kicked 129 goals in one season. And then, obviously, from 99 to 01, he plays for the Dockers. He's played 47 games, kicks 148 goals. So, 588 goals in 165 games, mate. Obviously, his highlights of his career. Two All-Australians in 93 and 97. Coleman in 97, which he kicked 81 goals. Five-time leading goal kicker for the Adelaide Crows. Frio's leading goal kicker in 99, which kicked 71 goals, which has only been bettered once by Matthew Pavlich, who kicked 72. Mark of the year three times, 93, 97, and 2000 for the Dockers in a big, I think it was round 10 versus Geelong, took a big hanger on, looked like Ben Graham. But I remember in 97 or 93, I just remember this from Modra just going on his Adelaide career. He used to always give Mick Martin a bath.
Yes.
And I feel like they were always Friday night matches and he would give Mick Martin, he would like sit on Mick Martin's head like four times and it would be like essentially old school footy, like full forward versus full back, and Mick Martin's like, and they were such a juxtaposition because Martin's like this big kind of orc looking bloke.
Shrek.
And Modra's got the beautiful long blonde hair, the surfy dude with the tan. You know, Martin looks like a bloody newborn fish, he's that white.
Yeah.
And Modra's just jumping on his head, so I always love that. Goal of the year in 1995 for the Crows as well. He got in the Frios 25 and 25 at full forward and the Adelaide's team of the decade in the 90s at full forward. So just goes to show how much of a legend he was. Pretty interesting, Oz, that he was full forward for the Dockers 25 and 25 and actually probably shows not so much how good he was, but how little full forwards we've had and how disappointing our full forwards have been. Pav's obviously at centre-half forward, but, you know, we haven't really had, apart from Pavlich, a good forward at the club.
Well, look.
You know, it's been our Achilles heel.
To be fair, you know I love me some Tony Modra. Mm. And, look, I think he's going to probably pop up to be one of the best full forwards in any team that he played for. But just the ability to draw the crowd into the contest with one simple act, jumping on some bloke's head.
Yeah.
And literally, in some cases, over someone's head in order to make the unrealistic realistic. Yeah. Like some of those marks that he's taken, unbelievable.
Mate, also, how about this? Obviously unlucky in 1997 where he does his ACL in the prelim. Then he couldn't quite regain his form in 1998, so he missed out on both grand finals. Really super unlucky there. In his three seasons for the Dockers, mate, in 99, he plays 20 games and kicks 71 goals, 43, and comes second in the Doig. In 2000, he plays 16 games, kicks 50 goals, 25, and comes 10th in the Doig. And then in 01, he played 11 games and kicked 27 goals, 15, and it was obviously brought down by his knee, his constant knee pain, and couldn't continue on. Mate, obviously 10th on the all-time Freo Dockers goal-kicking list, averaged 13.15 goals a game, which is the most for any Freo Docker, and kicked the most goals, 10 in a game for the Freo Dockers versus Melbourne, I believe, at the G. But Oz, mate, what Tony Modger will be most renowned for is probably the in the top, I would say it's the top three most iconic moments in Dockers history.
Yep.
The first derby win, slapping the ground, you know, and just absolutely horning it. I think he kicked 6 or 7 in that game as well. We did a re-Dockables on that, guys. If you want to go back, it's on the thing. You can go back and listen to it. So, you know, guys, Tony Modra, what a great player, and hopefully he's brought back a few memories for those people who are just sitting back listening to this and think, how good was he? I mean, he was really good, and it's quite interesting when they write it. Who said about it? I think it might have been, Duffield or someone like that. In the book, they talk about it, and they said, look, if we got Modra in 95, you know, as the marquee player, you know, it could have been something very interesting, mate. Anyway.
Can you imagine? Oof.
Yeah. Mate, next time we play Adelaide, I'm going to do Chris Groome because there's a great story in there.
Oh, you know.
In the book as well. Another great story. Yeah. Oz, best time they met?
You know when the music comes up.
Oh, yeah.
As we always do, Duck, set the DeLorean, this time to the 21st of July 2007, when Freo travelled to Football Park to play the mighty Adelaide Crows at 2:40 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon in front of 40,190 rabid Adelaide supporters, probably all with mullets, but that's a side note. The mighty Freo Dockers played a thrilling game of football, kicking 20 goals, 6, 126. I'll repeat that. 20 goals, 6, 126 to the Crows, 15 goals, 11, 101. A man in white, Darren Goldspink, was there to witness some of the most entertaining players to don the purple put on Goldspink, a game.
What a name.
For the ages. Now, Duck, this is all about... I thought I'd turn this into a bit of a quiz for you because I know you love your Dockers. There is some significant players slash events slash turning points here for the football club.
Yeah.
So, very quickly, can you answer these questions for me? There are three players that kick 3 goals or more. And as always, there's two that you might be able to guess and one complete random.
I reckon Wiz kicks 3.
Negative. He didn't play in this game.
Didn't he?
No.
All right. So Pav kicks 3. It's 2007, yeah?
Yes.
Pav kicks 3. Maybe Ryan Murphy kicks 3?
No Ryan Murphy Ryan Murphy in this didn't game. Play? Can I just...
Pav definitely.
Pav kicks 5.
Medhurst?
Medhurst is a no-go on this one. This is where it gets exciting.
All right, who are the guys?
So Pav kicks 5. Hayes kicks 3. Paul Hayes will be. Guess who kicks 4? A former coach's nephew.
What, Marcus Drum?
Marcus Drum kicks 4 goals.
Greatest game of footy you ever played.
And this included a crucial goal in the fourth quarter, Duck, that helped keep Adelaide at bay when they were coming back. But I'm going to throw this at you, Duck. There is one statue of a young man here who played and managed to amass 21 disposals during this game. He managed to kick a goal. He also managed 9 hitouts. He's so famous for this particular game, they erected a statue outside of the MCG for this young man. You might know who
Tony Gilmore, mate.
Yeah,
Daniel Gilmore.
We'll talk about Tony Modra. So these are the players that day. Peter Bell, Heath Black, Ryan Crowley. By the way, Peter Bell, 30 disposal. Thank you, mother, for the rabbits. Ryan Crowley, Matt Carr, Josh Carr, Brum Brum, Paul Hazelby, David Mundy, Daniel Gilmore, Scotty the Vampire Thornton, Anthony Grover, Paul Duffield, MJ,
Michael Johnson, Matty Pavlich, Des Headland, Stephen Dodd, Luke McFarlane. Robbie Warnock actually plays in this game, has a decent run at it. Marcus Drum, Shawnee McManus also had a decent game. Dean Solomon before I actually saw the infamous elbow to Lynch.
So that comes up again.
Chris Tarrant and Roger Hayden, the doctor, because he was so clinical with his disposal. Now, Duck.
Tell me how many posies Shawnee Mac got, mate, because you said he had a good game.
He had a good game, mate, but mainly because of his influence around the contest, so much so. You can see where I'm going with this. Look, he may have only amassed the whopping 10 disposals, but he did have a number of tackles during this game. And when I say a number, it could only be a couple. But still,
it could be
sticking up for him here. Now, it is a number. Now, mate, here is the interesting part. This game marks an interesting point and a significant point in Fremantle history because it marks the turning point in a coach for the football club.
Is it Chris Connolly's last win?
It's someone's first win.
Oh, Mark Harvey's
Mark
first win.
Mark Harvey's first game coaching the club following the sacking of Chris Connolly, and it's also his first victory. Now, quite interesting, just very quickly, we know about Mark Harvey. He coached 97 games for Frio. His record ends up with 39 wins and 58 losses with two finals games. He ends up splitting those 1-1. We beat Hawthorn, and again, it goes back to that Hawthorn game where Morabito streaming down the wing.
Memories.
And then the game afterwards, we get horned against Geelong at the MCG. But
yeah,
we always remember that Hawthorn game.
For it was one, a good elimination final.
Hey, Morabito.
One ace Three
votes. Ace Annalens down.
Who
with
got
it.
The votes in this game, mate? The Brownlow votes.
I'm glad you said that because I've got this ready because I look like a bit of unpreparedness entered the Oz stable last week. So here we go. Brownlow votes with Tyson Edwards, one vote. Heath Black, two votes. And Matty Pavlich, not to be confused with Paulich, his cousin.
His
evil cousin with three votes.
All right, mate. Let's go to the predictions. Now, the line is at -9.5 for the Dockers.
Oh,
so
boy.
The Dockers are favourites by 9.5 points.
Yes.
Oz. So, what do you think? What's going to happen on the weekend? How do we end up, mate?
Yeah, look, for me, mate, this is the turning point as we head into the hub. Actually, no, we've got one more game next week. I keep forgetting.
We're supposed to play Melbourne, but we
may
not.
But I don't know. Yeah. Well, let's just say, for argument's sake, it ends up being the last game in the hub.
Anne, is there anyone left in that? We could play a Sydney side, couldn't we?
Yes.
We could play GWS
or Sydney.
Sydney, yeah.
Yep. Interesting.
Unless they're playing, hang on. Yeah. What is the, what's the fixtures?
Yeah, I might haven't looked at it. But very quickly, this is what I think.
Yeah, you keep going.
I think Fremantle are going to change their fortunes. I think we're going to win this game by about 24 points. Yeah, put it out there. I think, like you said, Hoges is going to have a field day. And I think Blakely, as an inclusion, we're going to really see the impact that he has. It changes the complexity of the middle. I think that it's been a while since I could say that someone's actually, I've never said this, it's going to sound weird, but someone's foot excites me more than Hayden Young. Mm. Watching that guy kick a football, it's like you could put some classical music to it and just relax watching him hit target after target. And, mate, he's just developing into this amazing player. So I'm super excited about that. But Freo for mine. Go.
What I'm pumped to see, mate, is two young guys that are now in their third year and just about approaching their 50th games in Chair and Brayshaw really stepping up with Fife out, Brayshaw in particular, to fill the void, I think, in the middle. And we saw a stat on the weekend that both Chair and Brayshaw hadn't really even gone to center square contest. So, look, really want to see those two guys step up and fill the void. Could this be a potential Ewing theory game for Fife? Last time Fife didn't play against Sydney, we got up by a point or two in a thriller at Optus. So, look, the boys have to stand up. They have to rise up without the captain.
Opportunities, mate.
Yep, and opportunities for them to go out and play a really good game and get a good win and reward for all their hard work. And we know the boys are working super hard over there in the Gold Coast, in the, the hub. So, look, come home with the win. Get that win. I just had a look at the fixtures then, mate. I find it really hard to see how the Dockers play because the way they're lined up, they're sending, Sydney Gold Coast are playing Port Adelaide, so I don't know how they get a fixture, out of there, because they're sending Gold Coast down.
Bring the boys home. Here comes the run. Docker Premiership 2020.
Anyway, guys, on that note, make sure you listen to the Purple Rain, our other podcast. Every Monday night we put out a show reviewing the game, and make sure there's plenty of discussion that we've been talking about on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Purple Rain 95. And make sure you get around the boys and send them your well wishes this week, guys. And let's get stuck into it. Have a good win this weekend.
Let's go, Frio.